Welcome to Pixelated Radio, playing the best of yesterday and today. I'm your host, Henderson Mann, and with me always is Kush.
Hello.
So, another week. Another 2 weeks. Games. Stuff. Man, it's been a fucked up week. Car issues, dog issues. Seems like it never ends. I woke up yesterday morning with food poisoning before I had to go see Will. At least I think it was food poisoning. Ugh.
That's terrible. Awesome.
Yeah. But I felt like crap all day yesterday, but I still had a good time. So,
but in reality, you're just lying. You had the best week of your life because today is all about opposites.
Oh, God. It is April Fool's Day.
It's the worst day of the year because people aren't even clever. They just do like the most ridiculous things. You know, maybe it'd be okay if April Fool's jokes were actually kind of believable, but they're so ridiculous that it's just like, oh, okay. And some people might like that just because then they know for a fact it's not true.
Yeah. Destructoid, they did basically an OK Cupid joke where when you go to Destructoid, it takes you to another page called OK Destructoid, and it looks just like dating site OK Cupid, and you can even sign up for it. Maybe they'll make that real, and maybe I can find me a gamer girlfriend.
Yeah. Because you should be looking for a gamer girlfriend.
I should be looking for any kind of girlfriend at this point.
The one joke that I've kind of enjoyed is this this one game I'm looking forward to, and I liked it back when it was just this little tiny Flash game. Thomas Was Alone, and it's this game where you're just like this little rectangle. It's like a minimalist game where you have to get to a certain area. But then it came out with a video about it being motion captured. So this is right, and there's this guy in a motion capture suit, and then he puts on his cardboard box, and it's funny.
That's pretty good. But man, this stuff all kind of started back in EGM was like one of the first ones to start the whole video game angle of this, because they put in the Shang Long. There used to be a thing in Street Fighter where it said you couldn't even possibly defeat Shang Long. And back then, that was just a fighting style or something. But EGM took screenshots of this old man who was supposedly hidden in Street Fighter, but you had to do all this ridiculous stuff. And it just kind of every year they would do that. Do something like that has some kind of April Fool's joke. But I thought that was funny. You know, one year it was you could unlock Trevor Belmont in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game. So, but that was lots of years ago. Do you remember any of those?
Yeah, I remember them. I mean, there are a whole bunch of ones like that. I remember like one of the last ones, I think maybe it was the last one in EGM, was Lego Halo.
Yeah.
That was one of the last years, maybe the last.
Yeah, another one that people got all upset about was Super Smash Brothers Brawl. Melee. That was the one that was on GameCube that you could unlock Sonic and Tails. And they had this real elaborate scheme to do it. And people got pissed off because they kept trying. And they could never unlock him because, of course, he wasn't in the game. So, and then I thought that was kind of funny. Later on, they put him in Brawl. So,
and then like a year or two ago, I think it was IGN who did the Zelda trailer live action.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Which a lot of people just said, oh, I wish it was real.
But yeah, so you don't trust anything today, which when you hear this, it'll be Wednesday and April Fool's will be over and you can start trusting things. But you know
what?
That's
a good thing for every day. Don't trust anything any day ever.
So, we're going to be talking about some games we've been playing. And the first thing on the list is Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City. So get it out of the way, Kush. How bad did you hate it?
This is one of the worst games I've played in a very long time. I absolutely hate this game. This is of the quality of like Vampire Rain.
See, Vampire Rain to me wasn't even playable. It didn't work. This worked.
It's only above Vampire Rain because it doesn't force you to be stealth. That was what really killed Vampire Rain. It's just like, oh, you're screwed. But this thing controls horribly. I can't stand it. It's the most boring game I've ever played. I didn't have any fun with it at all, at any point.
And see, I enjoyed it. Now, as a $60 title, this is probably not a good game for most people, but I would say for a lot of people to pick it up around 30 if you like this kind of game, 20. I really enjoyed what I played of it. Did do a little bit of the multiplayer. The single player, the story is just kind of bland. It doesn't really have much of a story because it seems like it's really focused on a co-op experience. So, in fact, it's so co-op that you can't even... the co-op game and the single player game are the same thing. It just depends on who you have with you. And it's more fun when you've got a group of people with you. I finally got... Big Steven finally rented it, and another one of our friends, Rachel, she had it, and we were playing it together one night. It's strange if you're... It's not Resident Evil at all. It's just they're using the Resident Evil name for it, and other than the fact that there's the zombies and the different creatures from Resident Evil. But I had a good time with it, and I thought the multiplayer was really good. But I know you said you rented it and you hated it. So.
I did hate it, and the multiplayer... I didn't try the multiplayer because that wouldn't have made me like the game because I hated the way it controlled. I hate the controls of it. I don't think it's fun. The shooting's not fun. It just doesn't feel good at all.
I think the biggest problem with the shooting is the fact that you go through ammo way too fast and you don't feel like you're doing any damage.
Doesn't feel enjoyable at all. The only thing I'll say about the shooting, and this is my one positive thing, it feels better than Deadly Premonition. But if you've played Deadly Premonition, that's not saying anything at all.
See, I thought the controls were okay. I thought they were, you know, just to me, just I felt like when you shot a gun, I felt like
and trying to pick up anything is awful.
Well, that was kind of bad.
It's like I guess you have to be actually like your cursor over it or something to have it accurately do it. Because even if it's on screen and says press A to pick this shit up, you press A and then nothing happens.
Well, I found out a lot of times too. I'd be running around trying to get to some item and pick it up, but instead I'd pick the gun up that was laying right beside it, and then I'd have the wrong gun that I didn't like. Because some of the guns are absolutely terrible. Like any gun that you have to like zoom in on, it doesn't have like a medium range. It's like boom, it's way out there. It's like a sniper rifle. It makes it hard to hit zombies and stuff because they could be real close to you. So there was a lot of problems with that, and the fact that you could only carry one main gun and one pistol. But I mean, I think the game had some really unique ideas, especially for multiplayer, because you can get infected in multiplayer, or you can get infected in single player as well. But in multiplayer, you can get infected and still be playing the game as a zombie attacking your other.
No, you're not. You don't play as the zombie.
Yeah.
No, that's not everything I've ever heard anyone say is that you don't have control over your character when he is a zombie.
In multiplayer, yes, you do, because
everything I've heard, it says
well,
no, you
they're
don't.
Wrong because I've done it.
Or maybe you think you're playing as something else. I don't know.
I've had control over the zombie when I've done it. I've got infected two or three times and got turned into a zombie.
I don't know. I don't trust you.
Well, I'm pretty sure I did.
I don't know. You're lying to me because it's April Fool's Day.
No. But in single player, if you get infected and turned to a zombie, it's game over. But what's really funny though is when you get turned into a zombie, you can get shot in the head by one of your companions and you'll fall over dead, and they get an achievement for it if they shoot you as a zombie. But then after they shoot you, they can go over and revive you and you're just perfectly fine. So that's a little weird. Anyway, I kind of liked it. It's not a pretty game. Controls can be a little weird, especially getting in the cover, because there's not a button that lets you slide in the cover. It's basically you walk into something and then suddenly you go into cover, which didn't seem to bother me too much. I know Big Steven complained about it when we were playing it. I don't think he cared that much for the single-player game. He liked the multiplayer when he rented it, so. But anyway, that's Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City. Another thing we've
been
playing.
Even fact-checking right now, there are people on message boards saying you don't control yourself as a zombie.
Dude, in multiplayer, you do.
Maybe they're talking about in multiplayer. That's what I'm saying.
I controlled.
Maybe you're confusing being infected to then being a full-on zombie.
No, it says you are now a zombie. It comes up on the screen. You are now a zombie.
I think you're high on something. You're
and
taking too many drugs.
Attacking somebody as soon as I became a zombie, I walked right over to him and started attacking him.
Or maybe it's like you know, playing arcade games without any money in them back in the day, where you see stuff going on and you're a little kid and you think you're controlling the action on because it's sort of doing what you're doing, but you're not actually controlling anything. Maybe it's just convincing you that you're actually controlling it.
Sure, we'll go with that. Okay, so the next thing we've been playing is Angry Birds Space, which I've only played a little bit of this.
I only played a little bit too.
So it's basically your Angry Birds game, just like the other Angry Birds games, except they added like planetoids and stuff where planets have gravity and you've got to figure out where to shoot the bird at so that the gravity takes over and it'll either swing it around the planet and hit certain areas. It makes it very challenging. It kind of got really hard fast considering what it used to be. So what do you think about it?
It's interesting, but I mean, it really is just, it's more Angry Birds. I mean, some people have talked about it like it's this revolutionary new way of playing the game, but it's, you know, it's a twist on a very familiar game. And mm-hmm. You know,
well, I think they would lose a lot of their audience if they tried to go, if it's anything, too extreme. You know, it's these are the casual gamers, the ones that have been buying their games, and they go jump into, I don't know, if Angry Birds suddenly became an RPG, I think they'd lose their people and stuff. So that would be awesome, an Angry Birds RPG. I heard that's coming.
I don't even know what that would be.
Angry Birds. What can you say? You like Angry Birds, you'll probably like this too.
I'll say I enjoy Angry Birds. All the people who hate on it, I think, are just people who are douchebags because it's so popular and that's why they don't like it.
We call those people hipsters, but no, I like Angry Birds. I just don't like the attitude of the guy that created it, where, you know, he gets out there and he's like, we're going to destroy gaming, console gaming, because, you know, Microsoft and PS3 seems like they're going to be doing that a lot on their own anyway. Okay, what have I been playing this week? I haven't, I finished up Silent Hill Downpour, and it is in the mail on the way to Kush. Man, I really enjoyed this game. I don't really understand where all the hate came from. The controls are a little funky at first, but I kind of got used to them early on, and so I didn't really have much trouble. There's tons of side quests. So I didn't realize how many side quests there were. So basically, if you're walking around the town, you just keep going up to these doors, and sometimes you can go into other buildings and stuff, and there's usually some kind of side quest attached to these buildings. Like, one of them dealt with, you found a guy hung and a note that he was a thief, and so you find all these items in his room, and you got to go return these items to the ghosts that live in the house. And I thought that was kind of interesting and unique. You just had to figure out where to put the item and stuff. But there were tons of these side quests, and you're solving all these problems. The story's a little weird. It has several different endings. I think there's like six different endings. I did get the best ending, but man, I really enjoyed the game. Near the end of the game, they try to make it very combat heavy, and there's actually an achievement in the game to get through the game without doing any fighting whatsoever, which I don't see how that's even possible, because it seems like there's a couple bosses that you had to fight, but I don't know if they don't count. It's kind of confusing, but I really enjoyed the game quite a bit.
You know who else enjoyed it?
Jim Sterling.
Maybe did, but a couple Australian people. I've started watching this Australian podcast, and they talked about it rather highly.
I don't understand where it got a 4 from IGN and stuff. I don't know. I don't understand it.
Well, some have said, like, I think it was these Australian fellas who said that maybe it was like an early build because they didn't experience some of the bugginess that they've heard other people talk about. And I think like the fog or whatever really like popping in, which could be a huge problem if that does happen.
Yeah, the fog wasn't that bad in Silent Hill Downpour. I mean,
I've seen videos where it's like everything is, you know, crystal clear because the fog hasn't loaded in or something. So
stuff's crystal clear. I didn't have that. I mean, to me, the fog was kind of off in the distance, and you could see the fog, you know, off in the distance, and as you got, it acted like real fog. When you're in a fog, unless it's just super thick, you don't see very far in front of you, but you see, you know, if you're like in the middle of the fog, you can see quite a bit in front of you for like maybe 10-15 feet. So that's kind of what I felt like with this game. Now there's a lot of areas where you can get surrounded by enemies. If you hit to fight more than one or two enemies, you might as well give it up unless you got a gun. But there's just so much going on in this game. Like, you're walking around and you'll see these ladders that you know you can pull down, but the only thing that pulls them down is a weapon with a hook on the end of it. So, and you have to have one of these with you. So it's like, if you ever find one of these, you're like, you don't want to fight anything at that point because you don't want it to break, because you want to get back to the staircase because there's usually something good up there. It usually leads to a side quest or something, and you can always go back and find these items. But that's the problem. The map isn't very good for. It needed to, like, hey, when you found a certain item, it needed to tell you on the map that you found it so that way you could go back there and get it again. Because, you know, you play this for a day and then you go back to it the next day, you might forget where anything was at. Because the city does all kind of look same. You know, it's like the classic Silent Hill thing where, oh, I'm going to walk down this road. Oh, this road's got caved in, so you can't cross here. So, and there's a lot of mazes and back alleys and stuff that you have to get through. Man, that game is very tense. I mean, there's times that I jumped out of my damn skin playing it. So I was very impressed with this game, that I really enjoyed it. So Kid Icarus Uprising. So this is one Kush was kind of wanted to know about. I don't know what the
I've been interested in the game ever since I started hearing about it more in depth, specifically the way the difficulty system works and all that.
I'm not very impressed with this game. To me, it feels like Carpal Tunnel, the video game. To even play the game, they give you a stand. So basically, your 3DS sits on the stand, so you can just kind of stare at it. And the way you play it is you aim with the stick, and to shoot, you have to hold down the L button. So already that hurts your fingers. And to aim to move the character. No, I'm sorry. You move around with the stick. And you aim your shots with the stylus. And then you hold down the L button to shoot. So basically you're moving this all over the bottom screen to aim at the top screen. And the flying's not that bad. That's not where I had issues with the game. The flying felt really good, so I felt like I was dodging stuff when they were being shot at me and stuff. It's when you get on the ground, because suddenly when you're walking around, Link's got this stupid hop. That when he moves, he doesn't move like a flowing thing. He just kind of like hops. And people are like, oh, that's how he moved in Smash Brothers. Yeah, but, you know, it's not that, it didn't bother me in Smash Brothers because it's side-scrolling. But in the 3DS, you know, you're looking at this, little guy on the screen, he's just jumping the entire time he's moving. It feels like he moves slower than he should. You still aim with the stylus, but since you're now playing in a 3D environment, you have to flick the stylus left or right to move the camera. And it just seemed like to me that I would flick it, and it would either not go where I needed it to go, or I would flick it too hard, and next thing I know, it would be behind me. And it just made it a pain in the ass to aim when you're trying to get yourself situated where you can face an enemy, and you hit the button and you're like, you're already past them, and you're like, well, fuck, now I'm getting hit by stuff because I can't see it. I just think it's, I don't know, I don't see where they got really great reviews for this game. I don't, to me, it just, it doesn't control well. It needed, if it had Frankenstick support, you know, I think this would have been a lot better game, you know. And you can tell, to me, when I was playing this game, I thought to myself, this is a Wii game that they put down on 3DS, because this controls like you, how you'd expect a Wii game to play. Because you, if you were playing this on the Wii, you would hold the nunchuck to move your character around on the screen, and you would aim with your Wiimote on the screen. That's exactly how this feels like it should have been. And instead, they put this on a 3DS. And then, of course, this week, it came out that this game did originally start development on the Wii. That's, to me, this is what this feels like. If this was on the Wii, I think I would like this a lot better. You'd still have the same camera issues, probably, but not as bad. It's just the flicking of the stylus just kind of really fucks with me in this game. The good things about the game, though, are the difficulty levels. So you can adjust the difficulty level at the beginning of a stage. And basically what you do is you bet hearts, saying, hey, yeah, I can beat this level at this difficulty. And by you put in so many hearts, and if you win, you get more hearts. And these hearts are used to buy weapons and other items and stuff like that. In the levels themselves, depending on what your difficulty is, you can come across doors that say, hey, you can get through this door and get some more items and fight a super boss creature if you're playing on difficulty level 5 or 7. So as you're going through the game and leveling up, you can go back to earlier stages and get through some of these doors and try to get these items. And it has basically a loot system, so you know, you'll find different weapons in the stages, and you can all change out your weapons, or you can even combine two weapons to form a different weapon. It's kind of interesting, but it's just the controls, man, just really fuck with me. I don't like the controls of the game. And even with if you're trying to play this without the stand, it's really, really fucked up. And if you're trying to play it with the stand, I still feel like it's better, but it just, it doesn't feel natural. That's what I can say about Kid Icarus. I mean, I'm still trying to play through it, because I mean, here it gets really good, but it's just the controls issue that really fucks with me on this game. Anything you want to say, Kush?
No, I haven't played the game or anything, well, I can't comment on it at all.
If you'd heard anybody else say that or anything.
Well, I mean, everything you've said is basically just what everyone else has been saying. Pretty much everyone has said this feels like it's a Wii game, because it probably was.
This week they released the Devil May Cry HD Collection early.
Did you rush out? Like, when you find out it was early, like, oh, I gotta go get this right now.
No, they actually called me. They called me at work that night, and I couldn't pick it up till the next day. It's pretty good, but I'll tell you what, they needed to allow you to change your controls in this game. Because I don't remember, I remember I had trouble in Devil May Cry 4 with this as well, but I think you could change it. Basically, to aim your sword and guns, you had to hold down the LB button. And to shoot, you had to hit the X button. And to jump around, you hit A. So you're holding down LB, or RB, not LB. You're holding down RB to hit and hit an X. So you're already stuck in this little C cramp with your hands. And then you got to hit the A button to jump around. It's not comfortable to play. And you can't change it. There's two different controller settings, and both of them, it's the same thing. Hold down RB and jump around. It's just, ugh. But I haven't played... I've only played the first game. And man, the game's harder than I fucking remember it. Did you play those, the old ones?
I played the first one and the third one.
Second one, they could probably left off this disc and nobody would have cared, but it looks really...
I only played a little bit of the third one, but I remember the first one having, though it was an action game, it did have a bit of a, like, horror vibe to it.
The first one started out as, like, a Resident Evil type of game, because it even feels like Resident Evil. You're walking through
it's this giant mansion.
And I really enjoyed the first one's, the way it was set up, because it did feel like the world... The map and stuff was interconnected. It had a world map, but it's fucking harder than I remember it. And it could be just the controls and stuff too. But
or
it
maybe
seemed like
games have just gotten easier.
That's probably true too. But I remember finishing the first one, and I don't think I ever finished. I think the third one was way too hard, but it had an easy mode or something when they released the special edition. Played Closure on Xbox, or not Xbox, PSN, which is this little black and white game where you're these little people that you find. It's a puzzle game where you're trying to get to these doors at the end of the stage, but what's unique about it is you get these little balls of light that you can pick up and carry around, and anywhere that there's not light, if you were to walk past the light, you would fall off and die. So you have to figure out how to traverse these one or two screen levels. and try to figure out how to get to the door by moving these light balls around or taking light sources and moving them so that you can create whole walkways and stuff like that with them. It's kind of unique. It's definitely gets frustrating because you'll sit, it's almost like one of those portal things where you just sit there just staring at something. You're like, why won't this work? Why can't I get this to work? And then suddenly it's like, oh, that's why. Do you have any interest in this, Kush? Did you know anything about this? Because I almost feel like this game was like just popped out of nowhere.
It's an old game. Really, really old game. It's been changed, but yeah, it's, you know, PC.
Oh,
it's
really? Been, I didn't know that.
I mean, I'm interested in it. I've been way too busy to really do much of anything.
Right, I understand.
These past few weeks, like, my 360 has been turned on with maybe a game running that I am not even playing or doing anything with. And it's always these stupid games. But I've, like, had Gin Rummy. I swear, if you look on, like, fucking...
You were playing Spyglass games or something.
Yeah, like, if you look at these things, I have, like, the most ridiculous games on the list. Just because they're, like, something that maybe, oh, I can play this one move every 2 hours or something. You know, it doesn't take, you know, heavy interaction.
Well, I got a new 360, too, by the way.
Why?
My other one, number one, I wanted a bigger hard drive, and they quit making the bigger hard drives for the older systems, so the biggest you can get is 250, which I've had and filled up, and it's getting to the point where I was having to delete a lot of shit to even download games and stuff anymore. And I was playing one night, and I turned it on and tried to play my game, and I got the unreadable disc error, and I was like, oh, fuck, here we go again. So I took the disc out, put it back in, and it played. But at that point, I was like, I don't want to be without a 360. I need a bigger hard drive. I turned it into GameStop while I could get anything out of it and bought me one of the black slim models because I haven't had a slim model yet. I got me a new 360 and the bigger hard drive because they had the sale on the hard drives where they're $100 for the 320 gig hard drive. I'm happy with my new 360. I've been wanting one of the slims anyway. Just thought it was a good time to grab one. Do you have any of the slims? You don't, do you?
I do have the slim. I got the slim when it first came out.
I don't remember that.
Well, it came out a while ago.
I see.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about it? It's nice. It's quiet.
Yeah, it is quiet. I guess I didn't realize you had one. I knew you had the Resident Evil 5 one and the older ones, but yeah, it's quiet. Looks good. Plays good. Makes loud beepy noises when you touch buttons.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It's a little loud.
I don't like how sensitive it is being opened. I hate those kind of controls in general. I hate that on the PS3, which I think they changed that and went to what, you know, like an actual physical button on the newer models. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have a 60 gig.
My Xbox 362, the biggest problem I had with it was trying to figure out how to sync controllers to it because I didn't realize that right there by the USB hub hole, there's a little button there, and I didn't realize that was even a button. I thought it was a thing that if you hit it, it opened the USB pod, and I'm like, why ain't this thing working? And then my controller's like, I see the little light going around the circle. I was like, how did I do that? But I finally figured it out.
You should have waited. You could have gotten the Star Wars white one.
Yeah, I'm not paying $450 for that. I already have a Kinect I never use. I don't give a damn about the Star Wars game. So there's a $200 of the system that I don't need. So last thing I've been playing is I've played through Journey, which is a beautiful game. Not worth $15, in my opinion. If it wouldn't have been for DCBW, I probably would not have bought this game. I mean, I enjoyed it while I played it. I don't know. I think it's definitely something I would have waited for a sale otherwise. Are you planning on picking this up at any point, maybe when it's on sale?
I'll pick it up when it's on sale because I feel like it's very much a game in the moment. So if you didn't play it when it was all fresh and new in that first few days and week, there's really no point. Nobody's really talking about it anymore. It's old news.
It's gorgeous, and I did it in an hour and a half, and it was good, and I enjoyed that hour and a half. I did it all in one setting. I didn't get up and move or anything. I think I had 7 or 8 people join me, and I even took a screenshot of that screen at the end of the game. It says, "Hey, these are the people that joined you." Definitely interesting. Definitely something that I could see people enjoying. But to see all the high praise it got, you could definitely tell if people had paid money for that, a lot of the reviewers and stuff, I don't think it would have gotten as high reviews. But it is gorgeous, and it's interesting.
I don't think that has anything to do with the actual reviewers.
I don't know. I think money comes into consideration when you're playing for games, at least outside the reviewer dynamic.
I don't think reviewers, if they put that in mind, then they would have already given it a lower score because of that. They're not giving it higher scores because they didn't pay for it.
Who knows what they're thinking? Anyway, what you been playing, Kush?
I don't even know. See, I don't even remember. I have to go back to this list.
Sin Moria.
Yeah, that's like the most confusing pronunciation ever. I've heard so many different ways of pronouncing it, like Sin Moria or something. It's a shoot 'em up, a side scroller.
From the screenshots, it looks beautiful.
It's a very beautiful game, and it's it's actually, you know, it's well made. It's, you know, a shoot 'em up, but like with one little unique aspect is how it works with time, and that's very key to the entire game, as time is your health, and it's also just part of these special power-ups in which you can only in the story mode, you're only given the ability to go backwards in time. So no, that's wrong. You could only slow down time in story mode, and that can make it interesting, like, you know, to like get away from bullets and weave your way through tiny little gaps between bullets. And like, I don't know, because it's just really, it's just a shoot 'em up that's has this one little interesting aspect. So if you like shoot 'em ups, you definitely worth getting it. The story is actually kind of interesting in the fact that it's surprisingly well written. Like, it's actually kind of an interesting story, and it's a darker story, but at the same time, it's,
isn't rape even mentioned or something?
There are a lot of things. It's a fairly dark story, but really it's a shoot 'em up, so I don't, you know, I couldn't get into the story because of that, and the fact that it's all delivered in giant walls of text. So as interesting and well written as it is, you know, it's delivered in a very stale way, and I wasn't able, like, it's sort of like with Lost Odyssey, which got a lot of the meaty and the best story parts in the letters, but the way the letters were handled and because of the kind of game it was, I kind of forgave that more. But another thing I like about it is that the walls of text are narrated by, I'm guessing they're actors, but it's like in Hungarian, which I'm assuming. I don't know if it's because it's not a language you hear often, but it was very, I don't know, I really enjoy that about it, even though I don't know what they're saying. Well, they're obviously saying what's being written, but it's interesting. I was like, what the hell happened? Did I somehow download a foreign version of this? am I supposed to change this or something? So it was kind of weird, but I liked it. The one thing about the game is that it's very much, there's no multiplayer or anything like that. So it's very much, you know, if you have to be into going after high scores and leaderboards and all that. Because the story mode is really short. I don't know, maybe it's an hour, if even that. But that's
Is it bullet helly? Is it just...
It's bullet helly in a way, but it's very... It gets difficult on the higher difficulty levels, but it's pretty forgiving on the easy mode. So, and the way time works is that's your health bar, and basically if you get hit, the time drops down, like, I don't know, 5 or 10 seconds. When you kill enemies, it'll go up a little bit.
That does sound kind of forgiving.
Yeah, but in the harder difficulty levels, you can like lose all your time really quickly and just die.
Right.
Other than the story mode, which is just really short, there's like a score attack, a boss battle thing, and just the general arcade. And that's where the game really has all of its meat. And that's where, if you're interested in this game, that's where you'll be spending most of your time. Because there you get to pick whatever plane you want for whatever level you're working with. And then you can also pick the different pilots who all have distinct special weapons. And the special weapons work in the way that your multiplayer keeps going up and up, and your score is able to get higher and higher. But if you use a special weapon, your multiplayer goes back down to zero. So it's kind of that risk-reward system.
Gotcha.
Also, in addition to being able to slow down time, you can go backwards in time. Or then there's also a shield, which will reflect bullets. Those are interesting. You can only pick one of them, so you have to pick the kind of playstyle you want to work with. I like the game. It's fun. It's $15. It's worth it if you're the kind of person who's really into shoot 'em up and you'll be playing a lot of it, and, you know, you like going after leaderboards because that's what the game's all about. But if you're looking for something that, if you're only wanting to play the story mode, or if you're somebody who plays shoot 'em ups and wants to play multiplayer, then you might as well just pass and wait for a sale. I've also played some Captain America Super Soldier.
So let me guess, you picked up a whole lot of documents on the ground.
Yeah, a lot. Old shitload. There's no point to them, right? I mean, there's a point to like the eggs, but there's only really a point to like the eggs or those like the things that are more rare when you find them, the film reels and crap like that. it's a ton of that crap. But it, I mean, it's fun. It is like Batman, but it doesn't feel like, I feel like the counter system isn't quite, the timing isn't right. Mm-hmm. It's like it's way too sensitive. Like, you have to do it ahead of time, which is just kind of weird and awkward.
It's a poor man's Batman, in other words.
But it's decent. I think I probably would say Green Lantern's a better game out of like the more recent superhero games that have come out that aren't Batman. But it's a fun game, you know, if you find it cheap, which it's easy to find cheap now. So
yeah, I thought it was pretty fun back when I played it. I don't think I finished it. I had a good time with it. I didn't pay full price for it. Yeah, so
it's a decent game.
For a movie tie-in game, it was actually decent. And it and Green Lantern both are pretty decent. Although I liked Captain America better than Green Lantern, just because I have no reference at all for Green Lantern, and I've never liked Green Lantern.
Well, I don't like the character of Green Lantern either. I just think it's a better game. But, you know, Captain America is my favorite character other than the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so But you know, it's a decent game. So if you're looking for something to play, if you're kind of, you know, the story isn't all that, but it's just whatever. But I enjoyed it. I also played a little bit of Tiger Woods PGA Tour 13.
Tour.
That game's weird. I don't know. A lot of people have been complaining about the DLC, which is really annoying. Like, I don't know, there's like 24 or something DLC courses, which is just kind of nonsense because they're all like, I think they're like $4 a piece or something too. So.
Wow.
It's kind of insane.
Is the courses, they're DLC courses, but they're not in the game? They're not unlockables, are they?
I don't believe so. I believe you have, I don't think you can unlock them in the game with time instead of just paying for them to get them early. I'm pretty sure they're all courses you have to buy. Although I don't know.
Bullshit.
I haven't done that much research or anything because I don't care. I don't really care for the way it plays or... It just,
now you rented this, I take it?
Yeah, I rented it. I don't buy games, remember?
Yeah,
I'm not Richie Rich. But it's okay, I guess. I wouldn't recommend it at all. It doesn't do anything extremely different that the past games haven't done. And I don't know. You can get the old games now for cheap because they're a year old and therefore they're all garbage, apparently. But yeah, I also played an iOS game, Battle Loot Adventure HD, which is a fun little RPG. I paid 99 cents for it, so I'm pretty sure it's still 99 cents. And it's just sort of the ones where you have like your little team of, you know, you have a rogue or you have a mage or you have whoever. You can mix and match. I've only unlocked 4 characters so far, so I don't have many options. But you basically have your 3 characters and then you can put them in a formation from... front, middle, and back, so that, you know, that's, you know, the person in back's going to be safer and blah, 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 blah.
Right, it's typical RPG.
It's a typical RPG thing, and you can unlock new weapons and all that kind of stuff.
That looks interesting.
It's, you know, it's nothing. It's nothing particularly groundbreaking or anything, but it's very pretty. It's well-polished. It's fun. It works really well. And, you know, for 99 cents, it's a pretty damn good deal. So I highly recommend it if you're interested in those kind of RPG games. It's fun. And the last game that I played a little bit of is Apples to Apples, which I'm guessing the multiplayer is where the game's at. I've never played Apples to Apples, a physical version, or this, and the single player was just a complete and utter joke. I don't even know why they tried putting it in there. Like, oh, we have to have some kind of single player. No, you don't, because this is all awful.
Yeah, have you played the version on Xbox 360?
That's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, I thought you were playing it on iOS, I guess.
No.
Yeah, that game is... Yeah, I tried the demo for that. It was crap. Big Steven tried to sell me on it. He's like, nobody's buying it. I'm like, dude, I know why nobody's buying it. It's because it's kind of dumb.
Maybe multiplayer is where it's at, because it's a very much a multiplayer game from what I can tell, so...
Well, he says the card game is amazing.
Yeah, but it's also a multiplayer card game, so...
Right.
You're not playing it by yourself. It's not solitaire.
But, so it just... To me, it's just like, I didn't find anything interesting about
that single player
game.
Is awful. It's just like, even these things where you're like trying to guess something, the shit doesn't even make sense all the time. I'm like, really? This is, whatever. It's really stupid. But yeah, I played it. So that's that.
All right. Damn, we're going to get out of here early tonight. So, movies. I still have not gone and seen The Hunger Game. I'm hoping maybe I can squeeze it in the day. I've had car issues and everything else, so it's been hard to get to the theater and people coming into town and supposed to go see them tonight. So, still ain't seen The fucking Hunger Games.
Me neither. No desire to see it.
I know. You don't want to see it. Okay, the other day you were talking on Twitter, you said, I'm going to go raid the Redemption or whatever, and I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I didn't realize it was a movie.
Yeah. It's this movie that's... Oh, what is it from again? I don't know. It's a, you know, a martial arts kind of movie from some different country now. So it's like, oh, all the rage is coming out of this new country, blah, blah, blah. It's one of those Asian countries. But it's not like, it kind of surprised me. Whatever the country is, I can't remember. It's a fun action movie. It's one of the best action movies I've seen in a long time. It's basically they're not an elite group of SWAT team or anything. The SWAT team enters this 30-story building that's run by this crime lord, and it's full of all these bad dudes, and I don't...
Are you a bad enough dude to save the president?
And basically, it's about them going in there, they don't really kick that much ass when they first get there, and then they have to get out the few that actually survive the initial onslaught from the people who actually live there and just kind of massacre the majority of the team at first, because there's 20 members and then it quickly goes down to about 5 or so, and then it's just really about this one guy who just wrecks havoc through all of these people. But it's a fun movie. It's for a kind of like martial arts action film. The story is decent for what little story there is, and it's kind of interesting, and it's not like the typical foreign action film, which is just like, oh, I have to sit through this crap until the next action set piece. So I highly recommend it if it comes to your area. I think this, when I saw it, I think it was only in like, it was either only in like 13 or 14 cities or 13 or 14 theaters. But either way, it wasn't really widespread, so.
Halo was telling you he enjoyed it when he went and seen it.
It's a very good movie, though. I highly, highly recommend it. And then I also saw 21 Jump Street.
I can't believe you went and seen this.
I saw it only because of all the positive praise it's been getting. Because when it was first announced, I was like, one, I don't give a shit because I didn't watch the original show. And then two, this just seems kind of ridiculous. But it's a hilarious movie.
It is really good?
It is fantastic. The second it ended, I'm like, I hope to God they make a second one. That's how much,
wow,
I enjoyed it.
That surprises me.
There are some freaking hilarious moments. There's, like, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's one point where they're just like, after they take those, like you see in the trailer where they took the two drugs and then they're like all acting weird. But the point,
no, I haven't watched the trailers. But
for anyone who has seen the point in between those and who's ever seen the movie, that killed me. Oh God, that was hilarious. It's just a lot of fun, and you could tell that Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum just had, you know, great chemistry. It's just like, I want to watch a film of just all the outtakes, because there had to be so many outtakes. It was a lot of fun, and I kind of want to go see it again. Which is just weird.
Damn,
I'm like,
wish I was in Chicago.
I want to go see 21 Jump Street again. What the fuck? I was telling my one friend 6 months ago, if you asked me what is one of the two movies I would see in the first 3 months, 4 months of, you know, 2012, 21 Jump Street wouldn't have been one of them. But it ended up being it. I highly recommend it to anyone who's kind of been avoiding it because it's 21 Jump Street. It's definitely a very fun and enjoyable movie. And a new TV show has come on, and it's kind of just being thrown out there to die, pretty much. It's called Bent. It's on, I think it's on NBC. I don't know. I've been watching Hulu, so I don't pay attention. But it stars a bunch of people who I've seen in, like, things. Like, it's got Landry from Friday Night Lights. It has Jeffrey Tambor, or whatever his name is, the older father from Arrested Development, and a whole bunch of other crap. And then it's... what the hell? Now I forgot her name. Amanda Peet, who you've seen in plenty of movies. I think it's actually a pretty good show, but it's, you know, it just started up like 2 weeks ago, and it's coming out 2 episodes per week, so it's pretty much just being thrown out to die. It sucks that it's a decent show, and there's probably...
What's it about? What's the...
Her husband is sent to prison because he was, like, whatever, doing something, like, insider trading, those kind of things. Something, not like he wasn't a gangster or anything, it was just, like, some kind of economic kind of thing. And so
white collar crime.
Yeah. And then she moves to another house, and then she wants to get it renovated, so she gets this guy to end up renovating her house, like specifically her kitchen. It's, you know, it's one of those romantic comedy kind of shows, but it's fun. There's a lot of, I think one of the issues is that there's too many characters right now, that there's just like, there's so much crap going on with all these different characters. So, but I still enjoy it. I think the actors are all well, and there are like funny and clever bits to it, so it's not exactly cliche. Like, there was a point where Amanda Peet and her boyfriend, and then the guy who's sort of the lead guy, who, you know, is like, oh, they'll end up together in 5 years or whenever they feel like doing it, if the show lasted and was popular, but they go to like sort of have a fight, and then they go upstairs, and then they end up in her room, and before they start fighting, they're just looking around like, oh God, look at her room. It's like, oh, she's got a heating pad. Oh, it's still warm. You weren't going to get anything. It's just sort of them going off on like how sad she is and how he wasn't going to actually get anything, because look at how crappy her room is. Look at this.
Okay.
But it's fun.
I got my mom to start watching Game of Thrones yesterday. She watched 6 of the 10 episodes in one day. She got hooked on it. The new season starts tonight.
Yep.
So
have fun, everyone.
Oh, you should try to get it on Blu-ray in the summer.
Well, I have it in my Netflix queue, but it's a very long wait. It doesn't matter. I have a year until the second season comes out on DVD.
Yeah. I'm ready for that. Can't wait for that to start tonight. I did go to the anime convention yesterday, bought some new artwork, put a lot of Twitter pics up about that today and yesterday. That's about the only thing I can say about comics and books. Alrighty, so we got a few news stories here. Zipper Interactive has shut down. That's very sad,
yep,
considering how prominent that company was in the PS2 days. I mean, honestly, if it wasn't for Zipper and Sony, I probably would never got into multiplayer gaming, because, you know, SOCOM 2 was my first online gaming experience, so...
The original SOCOM was just fucking... That was my shit. And I remember the PlayStation disc that had like a 15-minute like making of sort of video with them. I watched that thing probably over 100 times. Because I'm a big military guy. I mean, I've kind of been oversaturated with all of it lately, but back then I was just kind of...
You're a big military guy.
I love movies and stuff, but like, there's, you know, there's way too much of it now. I also like the fact that it was a more realistic take. I've always been a fan of the Navy SEALs and stuff like that, so watching that and seeing... because they actually had, I think, you know, Navy SEALs in that video and stuff like that. And it was just kind of, it was more of a multiplayer game that was about teamwork, not about just being, you know, everyone's their own lone wolf, like in Call of Duty.
More PS4 rumors came out today, or they're calling it the Orbis, and now they're also saying with these rumors that Sony's going to do away with the used video game market. In fact, they're going to do away with even the Blu-ray drive, which kind of seems really ridiculous.
None of these things are true. None of them are true. I guarantee it. You want to know why?
Why?
This is why. Because you need physical media. Simple fact. Here's one sentence. Take the number of Xbox 360 owners, compare that to the number of Xbox Live subscribers. There, that's it. It's different. Very different.
Oh, I totally agree with that part. But there is an Orbis page that you can get to from Sony's developing website. If you go to orbis.sonydev or something, or SCEADev or something, you can get to that. So there is, that just means that there's probably something called Orbis.
Yeah, I mean, the code names, you know, whatever, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, that could be, that, you know, I'm not doubting those at all. But like, if they actually did take out disk drives, if they actually did this, they would all fail. They would turn into humongous niche products.
The other thing I want to bring up is not so much, we've brought up the used game market. You don't think it's going to happen. I'm really starting to think that it might happen now, if this is true. But the thing I do want to bring out is the new rumors are talking about getting rid of the Cell processor. To me, that makes a lot of sense. People are kind of against it, but the fact they're wanting to go to more of a PC-type architecture, and that makes a lot of sense to me, because they had so much trouble developing for the Cell processor that a lot of these multi-plat games and stuff are just hard to make work on the Cell processor unless they start out with the Cell processor development and then work backwards from that. So to me, I think I could see the Cell processor going away.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, the amount of people who complain about, you know, developing for the platform is basically everyone except first party.
Right, and that's because the first party gets way more help, and even places like, you know, Naughty Dog and stuff like that are not actually owned by Sony, they still get more help as well. So, man, it's been a bad week for fucking video games and layoffs. Sega laid off. Sega laid off a whole bunch of people. Also, Vigil Games, yeah, they laid off a whole bunch of
it
people.
It seems that the Vigil Games was a lot of people related to the MMO.
To the MMO, right. And I'm sorry to hear that a lot of people at Vigil Games got laid off, but I'm kind of glad seeing that franchise is going to go to a single-player game instead of an MMO, because I don't think that MMO would have survived anyway.
I'm also glad to see some of these people, just these companies that, though they're laying off people, they're like trying to help them find work at other places. It's not just like, you're fucked, bye-bye.
Hayden Dalton from Vigil Games, he was really out there after everybody got laid off. He was like, please, if you got any work, give these. He was putting messages out on Twitter, especially if some of the other companies were like, hey, you got laid off, you know, we got openings here, check this site out. You know, he was reposting those. So, you know, it seems like a lot of these people care about these, and I'm hoping a lot of these guys get, you know, land on their feet and stuff. You know, Vigil Games is one of my favorite companies, and I hope that they do well. You know, some of these guys are really good and talented, so just can't. The Sega thing, it doesn't surprise me, because it seems like everything they bring out doesn't make any money.
It sucks, because Sega, you know, a lot of people complain that Sega, they just make these crappy games and like just do the same thing over and over again, like Sonic. And what sucks is that they don't. But the good games they make and the unique games they make just don't sell. So now this is all we're going to get, is all this crap.
Like, Binary Domain's fucking awesome. It's a fucking awesome game by Sega, or that Sega's did. And it's fun, and it's kind of a unique thing, but that game did not sell worth a shit, because, you know, it's very Japanese looking, but, and they put out no, I mean, they really don't do a good job of marketing their games and stuff. It's like, if it's Sonic, they'll market the fuck out of it, and then if it's not, then they don't care. And it's like, the Sonic games have gotten so terrible that it's like, ugh, it's just like, oh, another Sonic game, and people play it, and then they're disappointed. Even Generations, I picked it up, but I think half that game's good. I don't know, it's sad to see Sega fall as far as they have. Robert Bowling leaves Infinity Ward in Activision. That's kind of a blow there, but yeah. I kind of expected it to happen. So I also see that you put the internet is horrible. Why was this? Because of death threats?
Did you click the link?
Oh, no, I didn't.
It's just one small segment of the whole thing of these people on NeoGAF, like what they've said about him leaving and stuff. It's just, people are awful. Like, I wasn't the biggest fan of Robert Bowling, but just what these people are saying is just, it's despicable. It's disgusting. This is everything that's wrong with everything. It just, it makes me
sick.
Some
of these are funny, though. Robert Bowling, is it possible to lag your way through the door so it won't hit you in the ass on the way out? That's pretty good. But yeah, some of these are stupid, like kill yourself and all that. But I don't know. I'm not like you. I'm not a big fan of Robert Bowling either. But, you know, he's been with, you know, the company for a long time. So, and he's been kind of become the face of
Yeah, I mean, he's got, like, whatever, like, 400,000 followers on Twitter and all that stuff, so... Like, I'm not a fan of him just because I'm, like, I'm not into what he's delivering. But he's, you know, he very much is into what he's doing. And it's that kind of audience that, you know, is into that, too. That oorah, action, you know, explosions, Michael Bay.
The sad thing is, I've only played about 45 minutes in Modern Warfare 3. And I'm talking about...
So that means you're, like, 25% through the game. So you played a good chunk of it.
I could review it at this point, right?
Yeah.
All right, fellas, that's going to be it for the news and probably it for the show, so we'll get our plugs in.
Yeah, pixelatedsausage.com, pixelatedradio.com. On Twitter, I'm at Kush3. The site's at PSausage, and the podcast is at Pixelated Radio. You should also check out the Pull List podcast and Signed In podcast, which you can find at pseudoradio.blogspot.com and signedinpodcast.com. And you should also check out the Two-Headed Nerdcast, which you can find out at twoheadednerd.com.
And Undercover Unitars.
Yeah, which Cosby's dead as far as... I'm like, Cosby's dead.
Oh, you should call it...
As of right now, Cosby is dead. There's no time for anything.
I want to, you know, say, hey, Henderson Man out on all these other things. You can find me there. There were rumors circulating that Big Steven was going to start another podcast with Random Ian, but I don't know what's happened with that. I ain't heard anything about that in a couple days, so... Who knows if that'll happen, but if it's still going to happen, man, I'd like to see the two of them get together.
I will say that I've been thinking about doing it for a little while now, and I might do, like, the second the semester's over, is that I kind of want to toy with the idea of doing, like, topical things for days, like, just do, like, a 5 to 10 minute quick little podcast thing for the weekdays, and then just, like, throw them all together and for, like, a Sunday show in addition to Pixelated Radio. Just like things that are happening, like, oh, maybe like a quick iOS review for one of them, and then, you know, something like that, maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, that's going to be it for the show. Everybody have a good evening.
There are some decent sales at stores for people who are interested in picking up some games cheaper. I know, yeah, Assassin's Creed Revelations is $20 at a lot of places.
Yeah, and also, if it's already going to be over by the time this goes, well, it's over today. Never mind, they had a bunch of buy two, get one free sales, so
SSX is $30 at Best Buy. You can get a Hulk Hogan's main event at GameStop for $10.
Fuck, I got to go right now.
Amazon price matched it, too. So, yeah, get your Hogan on.
Get my Hogan on. I'd rather have a Hoagie than a Hogan. Anyway, that's going to be it, fellas. Have a good evening.
Adios.